Nick DiGilio here. Yeah, man. We are live in the Allstate Studios on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Here until 5 a.m., and then we'll spend the first hour of the Steve Cochran Show together. And our phone number is 312-981-7200. You can also send your text to 312-981-7200. And check us out on Twitter, but facebook.com/NickDShow, best way to stay connected with us. All right, you all know Eric Childress. He, along with Colin Suter, join me every Saturday to review all the new movies. And Eric's been a part of the show for a really long time. And he's also, for years now, been going to many of the film festivals that occur during the season and then reporting to us with exclusive reviews of movies that that we'll get to see, you know, usually a couple of weeks or a couple of months later. So you're getting an exclusive preview of some movies that be coming out down the line. And exclusive coverage of the Toronto Film Festival is happening right now. And that's where he is. He's in Toronto. So we say hello to Eric for another update. Hi, Eric.
Hey, man.
How are you?
Doing good. Doing good.
Good. So last night, I screened The Road Warrior.
Yes. How did that go?
It was great. It was great.
Yeah, I wish I could have been there.
Yeah. You know, that was the first time I'd seen that movie on the big screen in like 30 years. And that is just spectacular. It is just,
yeah, I bet.
The last 20 minutes of that movie is just relentless. And you know, I stressed to the audience last night, to the crowd, I was like, you know, this is pre-CGI. So
yeah.
those are guys driving those cars. Those are guys flying through the air on motorcycles. That's the real deal. And it makes it all the more astounding. It's a spectacular movie. And
it really is.
I've always loved it, but that, you know, seeing it on the big screen last night was just great. And Colin was there just going nuts because, you know, he's a big George Miller fan.
Absolutely.
And so we had a blast. So it was really, really cool. And next month in October, we're showing Cabin in the Woods. So
that's gonna be fun.
Yeah, that'll be great. All right. Well, okay. The last time we talked to you was a couple of days ago, and you had seen 21 movies in like what is it, 3 days, something like that?
4 days.
4 days. Okay. Well, how many are you up to now?
We are up to 34. I saw 7 yesterday and 6 today.
You are out of your mind. All right. Well, cool.
Yeah.
Well, that gives us a lot to talk about, though, man. That's why you're here. You're here giving us an exclusive preview of some of the stuff that we're going to see in the future that starts out at Toronto. All right. So let's get to it. What's your first title?
Well, we might as well kick it off with the one that a lot of people are waiting for, and that's Foxcatcher.
Right.
Yeah, and this is the true story of Mark and David Schultz, a pair of Olympic wrestlers for the U.S., who were sort of cajoled into training onto the Foxcatcher Ranch of billionaire John DuPont, who was just really, you know, he was really interested in wrestling, and he was really interested in sort of forming a team and forming something that was going to win America gold in 1988 in the Seoul Olympics. Steve Carell plays John DuPont, an almost unrecognizable performance under the amount of makeup that he's in. Channing Tatum plays David Schultz, the younger brother who first gets brought out to the ranch, and Mark Ruffalo plays his older brother. More sort of, you know, David Schultz was more sort of the brawn, and Mark was more of the brains of the operation. Yeah, I mean, people who do not know this story, I mean, tragedy did ensue, obviously. And this is a movie that was directed by Bennett Miller, who gave us Capote and Moneyball. And this is, it's a really terrific movie. It fits in right up there with those other two movies in the form of sort of the exploration of sort of class exploitation that, you know, the characters in those movies, you know, were you know, put into, some for the better, some for the worse. And, you know, this is the story of, you know, mostly about Carell's DuPont and Tatum's David Schultz, who really, the two of them are sort of like living under the shadows of these, you know, people who are much smarter than they were. I mean, John DuPont, you know, sort of the last of the DuPonts and sort of inheriting all this stuff and didn't really have anything for himself. His mother in the movie is played by Vanessa Redgrave in a small but, you know, quietly powerful performance. And Mark Ruffalo plays the older brother. Is really, he's the guy that, you know, David would be nowhere without. He's the brains. He's the family man. He's everything that he needs. And you know, the way this story plays out is really, it's heartbreaking. And all the performances are top-notch. You can probably count on Mark Ruffalo being nominated for Supporting Actor. Carell is probably going to be a shoe-in just because of the sort of the force of the performance, even though you can make an argument that he could be supporting as well. But Channing Tatum, this is his movie.
Yeah.
And he's never been better. He has never been better in a movie. As great as Ruffalo is, this really is Tatum's movie. And you're going to see a lot of nominations come Oscar time for this movie.
I see. I'm looking at the cast list. Anthony Michael Hall is in it.
Yeah, briefly. He sort of plays like DuPont's like handler, the guy that sort of like picks everyone up and gives everyone the instructions. He's sort of his right-hand man.
Oh, okay. All right.
Well, small role.
Okay, but I always root for him. I always
sure.
do. I like Anthony Michael Hall. All right, well, that sounds great. I think a lot of people are really excited about this movie, and it doesn't open until November, right?
Yeah, I think November 14th or the 21st in
November
Chicago.
14th, I'm looking at. Yeah, November 14th is it.
Yeah.
It's called Foxcatcher, and there's already been a lot of buzz about it. And I'm not surprised that it turned out to be good. This Bennett Miller's a terrific director.
So, absolutely.
Yeah. All right, what's next?
Okay, next. Well, we continue. It's biopic time. That's where we're at right now. And so now we go from John DuPont and the Schultz brothers to Stephen Hawking. And a movie called The Theory of Everything. It stars Eddie Redmayne as Stephen Hawking, going back to his college days to right when he developed his neurological disease, and just as he was putting together his grander theories about the Big Bang Theory and black holes and all these kinds of things. And it deals with his relationship with his girl and his wife at the time, played by Felicity Jones. It's a film that is directed by James Marsh, who did Man on Wire, and he did Shadow Dancer last year, Clive Owen. And this is a film that I think is really kind of a missed opportunity, because it's a film that unfortunately thinks the illness is the bigger story than the brain, which seems unfathomable to me. Mm-hmm. And so the movie spends probably too much of its time focusing on the details of his illness, and how he overcame certain things and how things were, rigged up for him and all that kind of stuff, rather than really focusing on his grander theories. Every once in a while, a scene would come through with him talking to his wife about science and God and all this kind of stuff. But then it's back to, overcoming another obstacle in the illness. And, that's not the approach you want to take with Stephen Hawking. You think of Stephen Hawking, you think of the brain. Everyone knows the voice and the wheelchair and, all the problems that he's had. But you want to know more about the brain. You want to know more about Brief History of Time and that kind of stuff. And as good as I think Redmayne actually is in the movie, I think the movie ultimately kind of fails him because it doesn't want to explore what's going on upstairs rather than just dealing with the physical part.
Hmm. Okay. All right. That's Theory of Everything.
A little disappointed in that.
A little disappointed in that one. The Theory of Everything, which is about Stephen Hawking. Okay. All right. What do we got next?
Next, we got, John Stewart's directorial debut, Rosewater.
Right.
Played here, and I saw it here last night. This is, the story of a journalist named Burin Rahmani, I think his name is, or Rahani. And he was imprisoned for several months, partially in part to the fact of a mock Daily Show interview that he did with Jason Jones, where Jason Jones was sort of kidding about him being a spy and him making comments that Iran and the U.S. were not that different from each other. And this was right around the time of the Iranian elections. And soon after that time, he gotten a video and gotten some of the protests on video, and they ended up going viral. Next thing you know, he's being incarcerated and, just put under the microscope for whether or not he's a spy for America or in the CIA and, spreading false propaganda and all this kind of stuff. Barati, he's played by Gael Garcia Bernal in the film. And this is a film that has sort of all the trappings of a first-time director. Scenes end with, the point being made through a line of dialogue. As far as the incarceration stuff goes, it sounds like it was a bigger story than it probably actually really was. I mean, I'm not too you know, denigrate anyone who's put under those conditions for any amount of time. But, you know, this is a guy that was, put in prison for approximately 4 months, give or take a few days. The word torture is used in the movie, but what you see in the movie is hardly constitutes to probably what, you know, you saw in Zero Dark Thirty. There's nothing comparison between the two of them.
Yeah.
And this guy apparently just kind of gave in to all of the demands in prison. You know, just, you know, admit this and we'll let you go, admit this. And he just kind of just gave in to everything. To me, the movie, you know, I'm taking sort of a cynical approach to it. It seems like the movie was done simply as an apology to this guy for what The Daily Show ended up doing to him, you know, sort of being a part of the whole reason he was incarcerated. And it opens up sort of a gateway to the much bigger issue of things that are going on over there. But as a movie and as a, sort of an experience of what this guy went through, it's not really compelling. It's very thin, and it's a real disappointment. I just suppose the expectations shouldn't have been too high, considering Jon Stewart's never directed anything before.
Yeah.
And nothing's ever, you know, I mean, there's nothing to suggest that he would be a great director. I mean, he's a really smart guy. He's great on The Daily Show. He's been great for many years, but this is not a film that I don't think he should have tackled.
Yeah. Okay. I wasn't even aware that he had directed a movie.
Really?
I didn't even know that this was, I just found out about this probably a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
And I had not heard about it. So I wasn't aware of it. So it's Rosewater. Now was Stewart there? Were they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stewart was here. And so was the journalist and Bernal were all here. Watching the movie and just kind of sitting there going, like, was this of all the stories that could be told of what's going on over there, did this guy's story just get told because, you know, The Daily Show kind of screwed him and Hillary Clinton mentioned him on TV once?
Yeah. Interesting.
You know?
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah. And that comes out in November as well.
Yes.
So that's Jon Stewart's directorial and screenwriting debut as well.
Yes.
So it's interesting. So we'll see.
And I should also say that, you know, because the movie is based on the journalist's memoir, and it's very clear that he probably did crib some of the narration to bookend some of it. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering just how much of that is more on the journalist in not sort of communicating his experience compared to what Stewart put on the page.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't read the book, so I don't know. But I think that there might be something to that as well.
Okay. All right. Now, you know, we mentioned that Jon Stewart was there, and how many have you had a lot of celebrity run-ins while you were out there?
Oh, well, I've been to a few of the premieres. I was at the premiere of St. Vincent, so Bill Murray and Naomi Watts and Melissa McCarthy were all there, with Chris O'Dowd. Who else have I seen here premiere-wise? Just drawing a blank at the moment.
Is Kristen Wiig? Was Kristen Wiig there?
I didn't go to that premiere. I'm pretty sure she was. If anyone has any sort of movie playing here and they have a premiere, chances are they're going to be here for at least one of the screenings.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm almost positive Kristen Wiig is here. Reese Witherspoon is here for a couple movies that she has.
Anna Kendrick. I saw pictures of Anna Kendrick.
Anna Kendrick has been here. I know that. I saw Willem Dafoe last night for a movie Pasolini that he did. Jennifer Aniston is here. I've only been to a couple of premieres. So Bill Murray, Jon Stewart, those are the biggest names that I've seen so far.
All right, cool. All right, well, we'll talk a little bit more about that, and we got more movies to talk about. Hang on, okay, Eric?
Okay.
All right, Eric Childress is with us. He reviews movies on this show and for efilmcritic.com, and he always goes to the film festivals, and we get exclusive coverage of the festivals. This one that we're talking about is the Toronto Film Festival, and we'll get more reviews of some of the other films that Eric has seen coming up right here on WGN. Yeah. Nick DiGilio, that's me. Hi. We are live in the Allstate Studios on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Here till 5 a.m., and then we'll hang out for hour number one of the Steve Cochran Show. 312-981-7200, both talk and text. You can also check us out on Twitter, but the best way to stay connected is to like us at facebook.com/NickDShow. Eric Childress is with us. He is up in Toronto at the Toronto Film Festival and has seen 8 million movies. And he's given us a rundown of some of the ones that he's seen and previewing a lot of the ones that we're going to get to see in the coming weeks and months. And we welcome Eric back to the show. Hello, Eric.
Hello.
All right, let's continue. What's your next title that you want to tell us about?
Okay. How about Electric Boogaloo, The Wild Untold Story of Canon Films?
Okay, what? Is that a documentary? Is it a documentary?
Yes, sir. It is a documentary documenting the rise and fall of Menahem Golan and Golan Globus.
Wow.
Golan Globus, basically.
Wow. That's right.
And it is directed by the guy who did Not Quite Hollywood, which was documented the sort of the nutty years of Australian cinema.
Yeah.
So have you seen that one, Nick?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah. Okay. It's the same guy who did this one, and it has the same energy and spirit, and it covers just as much as you could possibly hope for. It covers their early years, and then them coming to America, and the sort of the success they had with the break-in movies, and the craziness that went on behind the scenes of the Death Wish movies, and Life Force, and Ninja 3, and all the and even when they sort of delved into like their art house cinema.
Yeah,
movies,
I mean,
like
I was going to say, do they interview Konchalovsky in this?
No, they don't interview Konchalovsky. I mean, it's packed full of interviews. But
yeah.
They don't have Konchalovsky in it, although I did see a poster here at Toronto for some film that he's trying to sell or something.
The Konchalovsky is?
Yeah.
I'm surprised he's going to get any work after the Nutcracker.
I know.
Eric, we got a break here. Hang on, okay?
Okay.
All right, Eric Childress is with us. We got to take a break here for some commercials, and we'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about this Electric Boogaloo, The Wild Untold Story of Canon Films. I really hope this thing gets distributed because I want to see it already. All right, Toronto Film Festival coverage from Eric Childress. More coming up right here on 720 WGN. Yeah. Hi. My name is Nick.
Hi, Nick.
We're on WGN 720. And we're here on the seventh floor of the Trib Tower in the Allstate Studios. And our phone number is 312-981-7200. Eric Childress, who reviews movies with me every Saturday, is live from Toronto covering some film festival stuff in Toronto. So let's get back real quick to this Electric Boogaloo, The Wild Untold Story of Canon Films. You enjoyed it?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, the way this thing is edited, it's very thorough. It takes you it's a love letter, but also, it gives you the warts and stuff of the things that went on back then. And there, deals, the deals that they had with MGM when MGM started distributing their movies, and they have a guy from MGM going, they gave us nothing but crap. and then leading up to, the sort of what ended up being sort of the big three of their downfall, which was the money they gave to Sylvester Stallone for Over the Top, the Superman 4, what happened with that, and then their Masters of the Universe movie. That's when, the way that sort of the business model of how, they would get sort of a big hit, once in a while, and that would be able to fund, all these other movies. But all, everything you really want to be in there is probably 90% in there. I mean, they deal with the Lou Ferrigno Hercules movie.
awesome.
Dude. They made a series of movies with like a talking ape, with like a little person in an ape costume that I've never seen before, with like Dom DeLuise.
What?
And stuff. Yeah, there's a movie like it's called Going Bananas, and there's another one, something like Me, Bonzo, and something else or whatever. And it stars the kid, I think David Mendenhall from Over the Top.
Oh, yeah, the kid from Over the Top,
Yeah, and there's like four of these movies, and the clip that they show from this ape movie, because they couldn't get Clyde. They actually they talk about how Dolan was actually like interviewing Clyde from Every Which Way But Loose. Actually interviewing him and telling Clyde, like pitching him the movie.
Oh my
god. Like,
this
is what you're gonna do, and this is you're gonna then the child will smile at you and the child will be very happy and all this stuff. And then they couldn't get Clyde. So they put a little person in an ape costume and had him run around and play an ape.
Oh, that's unbelievable. That's not has this thing been picked up?
It has not been picked up yet. It premiered here just last night here in Toronto. I'm sure it's going to get picked up and distributed somewhere. I mean, Not Quite Hollywood did.
Yeah.
And this is the same director, actually. He did the remake of Patrick.
Oh, he did.
That came out earlier this year. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So he's out there, and he's, you know, and he did another documentary called Machete Maidens Unleashed.
Mm-hmm.
So he makes very entertaining documentaries, and this is absolutely one of them.
All right, cool.
It's a movie lover's dream.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it. Electric Boogaloo, the wild untold story of Canon Films. Okay, what's next?
Okay, well, we're still on biopics.
Okay.
So we'll just stick there, and we got a movie called The Imitation Game. And this is the true story of Alan Turing, a notable British mathematician who was primarily responsible for breaking the Enigma code from World War II. That people aren't familiar with the Enigma code, all you got to do is see the movie U-571 with Matthew McConaughey.
<Yeah. laughs>
you get sort of the Cliff Notes version of what the Enigma code was.
That's right. Yeah.
And if you remember when that movie came out, everyone was just like, well, the Americans had nothing to do with it. It was all the British people. Well, here's the apology movie for that, because Alan Turing is played by Benedict Cumberbatch, a sort of a quirky mathematician, very arrogant, very in love with his own brain and his ability to solve problems. And he gets put on a team recruited by basically MI6, a top secret mission, to figure out, you know, how the Germans are communicating with one another through this sophisticated code that they've been using. And he, you know, essentially works to be building a machine that essentially will find a way to crack the code on a daily basis, because the code is changed daily. So, you know, they only have till midnight to figure things out, and then the code is over. So this is sort of another film along with The Theory of Everything that I think has a really strong central performance, but I think it kind of misses the greater meat of the story. This one is a little more conventional of your standard biopics, and considering not only the fact that all these secrets are going on with the war and the code and all these things are going on, and spies possibly infiltrating even Turing's own team. Alan Turing was also a noted homosexual, and was prosecuted in his later years for indecency by the British government, which is something that tens of thousands of men and women were charged with up through the 50s and even later than that.
Yeah.
And this movie doesn't, it brings that into the fold a little bit, but is kind of a side note in a way. And I think if this movie had concentrated a little bit more on sort of the grander nature of secrets and how they can destroy lives, not just through bombs and things like that, this thing could have been something greater. As it is right now, it's just kind of a passable biopic with a really solid performance by Cumberbatch.
How's Keira Knightley?
She's fine. Again, she plays the woman as part of the team that eventually sort of becomes his wife in the movie. So obviously the secrets attached to that don't really have the weight that it really deserves. Especially the ending of this movie really sort of ends on kind of a more of an upbeat note, considering how horrible the last few years of Turing's life really were, and those are sort of covered in title scrawls.
Mm.
So that's really kind of disappointing. But if you want to learn a little bit about history, it's again sort of a gateway film to learning something about that. You could take a look at this, but it's just kind of passable.
Okay, all right. That's The Imitation Game, which again another movie that opens in November. So mm-hmm. There you go. All right.
Next, a film that probably should have been under the Canon Films library, and it's called Escobar: Paradise Lost.
Escobar: Paradise Lost. Okay.
Yeah, and it stars, or I should say co-stars, Benicio del Toro as Pablo Escobar.
Mm. Okay.
Towards sort of the end of his reign, just before he was making his deal with the U.S. government. But this film doesn't necessarily focus directly on Pablo Escobar and his empire. It deals with a Canadian kid played by Josh Hutcherson, who happens to be, working in town and living off the jungle, and meets and starts dating Escobar's niece.
Okay.
Yeah. And so he's sort of, you know, he's brought into the family and whatnot, and everything's all good. And then hell starts to break loose for Pablo Escobar, and the kid finds himself, you know, right in the midst of, you know, doing illegal stuff for Pablo, Uncle Pablo. Yeah, this is a movie. I think the tone they were trying to go for, the sort of the, what they were trying to get to, was something along the lines of like The Last King of Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of took this sort of outsider into the world of this, you know, this really horrible human being, and you know, given that as our, you know, our gateway into this world. But there's so much going on with Pablo Escobar to sort of reduce it to. I mean, I don't know how much of this stuff is true or not. It feels very, very, very fictional to me. The movie is ridiculous. It is absolutely ridiculous. Mm. And it's really weird that we're now getting to the point where it seems that all the fake movies from Entourage are being made into actual features. because, you know, we have, this is basically Medellin, and we have Aquaman apparently is getting made. They made a, you know, Gatsby with DiCaprio,
yeah,
and whatnot. You know, personally, I'm still waiting for Chunnel and, you know, Death Blow.
Yeah, that would be great. We're missing the Death Blow.
Wouldn't it be great if Canon Films was still alive just to make the Seinfeld movies?
Oh, yeah, that would be awesome.
I would love to see that.
Yeah,
I would love to see that.
Mm-hmm. Wow. All right.
But
so,
yeah, but no, this movie is ridiculous.
Okay. Escobar Paradise Lost, and that's also coming out in November. Wow. A lot of these movies that you're talking about are will be out in November here. All right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's do another one.
Okay. Another one. Just do a good one. A movie today called X and Y.
X and Y.
And look this one up. It has a really good cast in it. Asa Butterfield from Hugo stars the movie, and also stars Sally Hawkins as his mother, Rafe Spall, Eddie Marzan, and some other people as well. And this is a story of an autistic child. Prodigy of mathematics, very socially awkward, you know, doesn't quite get along with his mom too much after his dad passes away, but he's got a skill for mathematics, and so Rafe Spall plays a teacher at a school who discovers this and basically sort of gets him involved into getting into sort of the next math Olympiad that the schools travel to across the world for. And this is a movie that's sort of in the vein of like Searching for Bobby Fischer and Good Will Hunting, where it takes, the story of a young prodigy that sort of ends up with this sort of unique support group all around him, mm-hmm. with his, not just his family and his teachers, but also his fellow students. And this one is even expanded even more. There are a lot of people around this kid, and he needs it, you know, the way he is. With his sort of undiagnosed autism, actually, and it's a good film. It's not sort of as great as Bobby Fischer or as much as I like Good Will Hunting, but the cast is really good. Rafe Spall is really terrific. Sally Hawkins is great. Eddie Marzan, I just love that guy.
Yeah.
So it's a really just sort of nice little story that. Of all the sort of the math-based dramas that I've seen here at Toronto, this is certainly the best one because it's the one that sort of figures out that the real story of the movie is not about whether or not the kid's going to win the Olympiad, but whether or not the math is going to, you know, draw him into sort of the greater applications of life around him.
Yeah.
So X and Y is a pretty solid little movie.
X and Y. Okay, that's got no release date. So far, so so we don't know if that one's going to get picked up. By the way, the guy who directed it, this is his first narrative. He's made nothing but documentaries before this.
Anything of note?
Let me see. He's got like a ton of movies on his list.
Okay.
Let me take a look. Hold on, real quick.
Yeah, this is a pretty solid little debut from him.
All right.
Again, the cast is universally terrific.
Shooting Bigfoot.
No.
Britain in a Day, Scenes from a Teenage Killing, The Fallen, Battleship Antarctica, and these are all. And then there's just TV, a lot of TV documentaries.
Probably from like the BBC, and stuff. Maybe.
Yeah. So yeah. All right. Well, interesting. Anytime you mentioned Searching for Bobby Fischer in any kind of comparison, I'm always intrigued because that movie rules.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites. And if you've not mm-hmm. seen, if it, by the way, if you're listening and you have not seen Searching for Bobby Fischer, you should probably go out and get it because it's a pretty spectacular movie.
And get on that.
Whatever happened to that kid, Max Palmerock, who played the kid in that movie?
Well, he was. There's a movie, I think, a year or two later called Fluke.
Oh,
that he was in.
That's
remember
right.
that?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Yep. Well,
yeah. And that kid is a real-life chess prodigy, too.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. No, he was actually, like, ranked when the way they made that movie. He was actually, like, you know, ranked, you know, in the world.
Wow, okay. I didn't know that.
He's still continuing that, yeah.
I didn't know that. Great movie, though, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Steve Zaillian. What a terrific film. All right, Eric, now you're leaving Thursday afternoon.
Yes.
And you got more movies to see, and we'll get another update from you soon, okay?
Sounds good.
All right, man, have fun.
Thanks a lot, man.
Take care, buddy. Eric Childress, live from the Toronto Film Festival, giving us all kinds of great updates and previews. Very, very cool stuff. And he does that for all the film festivals for us. So we're always happy that Eric will join us. All right, quick break here. It's Nick DiGiulio on 720 WGN.